Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak here and for the introduction. So this is based on joint work with Kirill Sorykin and Kumaran Vafa. Well, Kumaran and Kirill is a graduate student at Harvard. A new rising star, so I hope you'll see more of him in the coming years. By the way, as usual, we have some graphics to distribute.
We get a homework assignment?
Okay, so I'll start with topological string. I'll need to recall some facts about it. And then we'll go on to interpretation in the physics, in the physical string theory. And the setup here is that we take a Calabi-Yau threefold, so X, a Calabi-Yau threefold. And consider maps from genus G, Riemann surface, sigma G, into our Calabi-Yau. This is the Calabi-Yau X. And one of the interesting observables in topological string theory, in fact, one of the main objects that we usually work with, is the partition function Z top, which perturbatively has the form of exponential and then sum over genus of g lambda to the 2g minus 2, as usual in any kind of string theory. So these coefficients here, lambda is the coupling constant which controls the genus expansion, and each term here, this fg guy, encodes some interesting invariants of x. That's why this object is of great mathematical interest. And it also computes some interesting supersymmetric quantities in string compactification, and the physical string now compactified on the Calabi-Yau X. So computes supersymmetric or BPS quantities in type 2 string on X. So these two reasons are the main reasons or the main sources of connection between physical string and topological string, and these are the main two ways how topological string partition function enters the computation of the physical string and raise answers. So again, just to continue a little bit more, let me set up the stage and specialize to A model and B model, which are two types of topological string. And in the A model, this coefficient, which, as I said, are invariants in some sense of Calabi-Yau threefold, nothing but Gromov-Itta invariants. In fact, fg of a Calabi-Yau and some parameters t can be written as a sum over beta in h2 of xz. Then some invariants, coefficients, which are just numbers, Gromov-Itta invariants, namely e to the beta. And now these are indeed the honest Gromov-Itta genus G invariants of the Calabi-Yau, and parameters which in this function appear just as formal parameters which control expansion of this free energy are nothing but Keller moduli of the collab, yeah. And they run from PI, where I run from 1 to H11 of the collab. So this is just to review the basic fact that A model topological string A model depends on the Keller structure, and likewise the B model depends on the complex structure of a collab. Again, it has very similar form, and one can describe explicitly what these FGs are. So just to give you a flavor, F0 is very simple and is defined in terms of classical geometry of a collab, namely we can introduce a basis of A and B cycles, and correspondingly introduce A periods of the holomorphic 3 form omega and B periods Fi now special geometry tells us that B periods are actually non-independent objects, but can be expressed as partial derivatives of a single holomorphic function F0 with respect to Xi's, which we already introduced as A periods. Okay, and this defines this first term in the genus expansion of the topological B model. So defining or saying what higher F's compute is a little tougher, but for example for F1 I will just say that it computes the holomorphic version of Riesinger torsion and there are interesting equations to which higher FGs obey and partially can be extracted by knowing small genus terms in this expansion. Okay, this is just a brief recap and a set of cast of characters which we'll use later on in this hour. In particular, I'll probably use more often this B model side and express the topological string partition function and free energy in terms of complex structure variations which will be denoted again by capital X, and we'll use this notation for the prepotential. Any questions so far?
What are the little nano? A and B are decorated.
Oh, I see. So that was right. That was just to illustrate mirror symmetry between the two. The statement that right. So we'll also use this notation Z top A for A model, and so this will be of a collab and some set of Keller moduli T equal to Z top of a B model of a mirror collab and the corresponding complex structure moduli A. Sorry? I thought so. Wasn't it not? Right. So these are two. Yeah. This is a caricature for A model and B model. There's some similarity between these two characters. So just like between A model and B model, and some beauty and some ugliness. Okay, now.
Is there a definition of all the FGs on the other side, or is it still on the top?
Well, there is a definition. Here I was actually presenting an answer, trying to explain what they compute, right? So, computing either side in higher genus is tough, okay? Unless you have some special methods or some special situations where you could use torus action on the A side, etc. So in the B model side, you would have, I mean, you have nice equations which will appear in a second in a different form, but I mean, I'm alluding to these BCOV equations, which allow you to, in principle, determine FGs, but there are some terms like integration constants, which you would have to fix, and at the moment we don't have a good prescription to do it. And
I think the question is on the B model part, is there an interpretation of what you need to know? I think that's the problem.
Yeah, there is a definition in terms of topological Wolschitz theory. There is also a target space interpretation in terms of Peter-Spencer theory. But it, I wouldn't say, right. Unlike the A model side, it's not counting anything, any kind of interesting instanton, because from the Wolschitz point of view, it localizes to very degenerate Riemann surfaces, and that's why it's completely equivalent to a target field theory. So that's, I guess, what we should expect as a special feature of the B model, which hopefully will allow us to solve it completely one happy day, which is not today, unfortunately. Any other questions? Okay, so one confusing aspect of this topological string partition function, if you're not confused yet enough, is that it's actually not a function but a wave function, or put differently, it has a background dependence. So let me try to explain this briefly, and only to the extent that I'll use it later, which is fortunately not that severe. Okay. So statement is that Z top, this object which I didn't erase yet, is actually a wave function. And the easiest way to see it, okay, and it was first noticed in BCOV, but in this form it was explained by Richton in around 93 and 94, further clarified by DV Wong, and so on and so forth. And the statement is the following. If you look at moduli space of colloid BR, and here I'll illustrate it in the case of the B model, where this background dependence is easier to see, we choose a background point, meaning omega naught, the holomorphic three form around which we expand, and then on the moduli space there is a tangent space. So this plane here illustrates T tangent space to the moduli space, which is just H3 of x with real coefficients. And as we move around the moduli space, this tangent space changes. So for example, if we start here, expand here, choose a different omega naught, then it will be right here. And our coordinates that we introduced take values, in fact, in this tangent space. So notice, among other things, that complex dimension of H3. Oh, right. So good. Yeah, that's a good point. I should have stressed it earlier. Right. And yes, as I emphasized here, that T's go from 1 to H11, and we have explicitly lambda, which counts the genus expansion. Here it's very natural to combine lambda with the other guys, because here, for instance, we'll have H21 plus 1, total of A periods, complex parameters, H21 of which are moduli, and this is a coupling constant. So Yeah, this is indeed a crucial property, and this is just trying to make this counting work, because dimension of H3 is H21 plus 1, and is parameterized by variation of complex structure moduli. Later on, I'll call them delta A, right? And this is our delta lambda. Well, it's right. So the geometry of the Calabi-Yau is determined by relative, so to say, size of this period, relative value of this period.
Yeah.
So total rescaling of omega, or in fact multiplying it by any parameter complex number, doesn't really change geometry. But now we can use this fact to include this overall size and interpret it as a string coupling constant. Okay, so it's holomorphic volume.
Yeah.
To answer your question.
It's a holomorphic string coupling constant.
Yes, it's
the same as the string.
No, it's going to be gravity photon and the in the physical string once we get there.
It's going to be what, some norm of the
gravity
photon.
Yeah,
lambda is complex.
Yeah, lambda is complex. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So
it has nothing to do with the dilaton.
It's not the physical string dilaton. That's right. But it's the topological string coupling constant, which counts the genus in the topological string. So put differently, what I should have said is FGs themselves are also not functions, but sections of a line bundle over the moduli space of complex structure. And Chern class of that line bundle is precisely 2 minus 2G. So you can compensate. So put differently, what this means in plain English is that if I rescale omega, then this FGs will change by appropriate power of that rescaling factor, and the power is precisely inverse of this. So we can compensate it by including lambda into our set of variables.
So the scale factor on omega is really something like T lambda squared is greater than omega. If you want the analog,
you have zero. No, because it scales, like, for example, the first term, the gene is zero, it will scale like omega squared, omega average omega, roughly speaking. I mean, it will be written as xi fi, okay, in terms of periods. So it scales with the power 2, right? And this 2 is precisely goes along with this minus 2 in genus 0, etc. So it's really the scale of omega, which of the three form, holomorphic three form, which is interpreted as coupling constant. Well, this guy will be the gravity photon multiplied in the physical string. So lambda will be the lowest component of the spectral multiplier. So it's not the same as physical string. Just like scalar field in n equals 2 vector multiplier. In fact, all of these variables are complex, and I think it's consistent with supersymmetry once we go and bend this in physical space. Greg, you still look puzzled. So.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I think it's right. It's probably dual of the antisymmetric tensor. Yeah. 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 Okay, that's a good question. If it comes back, I'll comment on it later because we'll be going close to this issue. Okay, so now, the statement I wanted to emphasize is that this partition function Z top now changes, has dependence not only on the moduli, but also depends on the point around which we expand. In the physical string, again, it's reasonably natural if you keep thinking about embedding this in a physical string because, of course, effective action, which will be described by this topological string partition function, does depend on the background around which we make our expansion and try to build our effective field theory. So there is some background dependence, and it's captured by a nice set of equations, first written by BCOV. But then it can be actually interpreted by saying that the topological string partition function, in a suitable sense, comes out from quantization of the vector space, namely H3 of the Calabi-Yau, if we're talking about complex structure side. And therefore, it will be a wave function, which depends on the choice of polarization of this vector space, namely on choice of what you call coordinates and momenta. And this is the idea put forward by Witten and clarified in DVV-Wong. In particular, let me say one last thing about this point, say that it's natural to combine, if you think of Z-top, so this is the statement here, as Psi-top, which is some kind of wave function. So this is tautological relation just says that we should think of it as a wave function, then it's natural to consider absolute value squared of this object, which in our setup would mean that we would take a B-model tensor with anti-holomorphic piece, anti-holomorphic sector of the B-model, namely take a tensor product of two of them, combined like this, and this would effectively enlarge the phase space. So let me, in those coordinates, once again, write the coordinates on this phase space. So it includes a real part of A periods, real part of B periods, imaginary part of A periods, and imaginary part of B periods. Okay. And when we try to in topological string, we often get answers expressed as holomorphic functions of X. So topological string prefers, so to say, this choice of polarization, which is natural to call real polarization. Which is used in particular, preferred by topological string. And there is another choice of polarization, which is more natural in the case of, in the situations which involve black hole attractors and related problems, where we naturally fix, where attractor equations fix for us the real part of A and B periods. So the natural set of, if you wish, canonical coordinates would be given by real part of X's and real of F's. I completely messed it up. And this would be actually real polarization as opposed to holomorphic one, which we had before. So this would be real polarization. Which appears in black holes and also in Hitchens functionals, which describe the same type of topological theory also could describe B plus B Bohr. In Hitchens' approach to this Kedere-Spencer type theory, you would also naturally fix some real three form, but homology class of the real three form, which means fixing A and B periods, and this is precisely what we would do in this choice of polarization. And of course, the coordinates in this phase space are canonically conjugate across the diagonals in this little table. So that's why we should talk either about these variables or these variables. Okay. So far so good. Now, pardon?
The canonical conjugate to P, so Q, so the arrow goes from top to bottom. The cyclic form is real of X, means D real of X, what D?
No, because, for example, in attractor equations, you would fix both of this, right?
What do you polarize
on? H3 of X, C? Yes, in this case, H3 of X, C.
X, C.
Right. Okay, right. 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 So, again, just to reiterate, in the attractor equations, we would have equations where real of Xi equals Ti and real part of Fi equals Qi, right? So this is just to emphasize the same.
Sorry, if I understand correctly, that the polarization of H3 of X, comma C should give these tensor products that B tensor that B bar.
Yes, so it's for real guy, if you have R, then this is a regional picture advocated by Witten and is relevant just to a B model, but now I'm trying to double this whole system, so it's equivalent to considering C coefficients here, which doubles the dimension of the phase space. So next point. It's not. No, obviously it's not. Right. So we'll run into this later on. Right. So, no, I do think of it as a state in a Hilbert space, except that the statement so far has not. Right. Right. So, well, I'm sure that probably there is a way to make it to make sense of it, which we haven't found yet. So I think it's a good question. Except that at the moment I don't see how to use it for any practical computation or get some insight from it. So beyond what's already included in saying that it's a wave function. So I don't want to discourage people from looking into this question, but I don't know immediate goal in mind at the moment. But for our applications, it's definitely not going to be normalizable. And this is obviously a serious flaw in the interpretation I'm going to present next. As I say, I don't really know the answer to Greg's question, in particular how this guy sits in a reasonable Hilbert space of string theory. So what we'll be doing is trying to take this, we'll get to it in 5 minutes, but I'll just compare relative magnitude of this function at different critical points, and we'll try to compare them. So it will be interpreted as a relative measure, not the absolute measure, on the space of string vector, anticipating your question about it. Okay, but in order to get there, I have to mention, so the next step is the following statement, which, so far this was just a story about topological string and old observation that thinking of topological string partition function as a wave function encodes in a very concise and simple, relatively simple way BCOV holomorphic anomaly equations, which indeed take a lot of space to write and have a rather cumbersome structure. So this is a rather elegant way to present them. But all of this is in topological string, and the statement proposed by Verlinde, Uguri, and Buffa, so this is the OVV proposal, says that this wave function may appear in physical string as a Hartley-Hawking wave function. So this Z psi top is a Hartley-Hawking wave function. In a super mean superspace, I'll explain what that means, of type 2 string theory, on the following 9-dimensional manifold on M9, which is S1 cross S2 cross Kolombiau that we're studying. Okay. Well, just to remind you, the Hartley-Hawking no boundary proposal says that the wave function as a function of a metric, so given a spatial slice, a spatial manifold like M9, we can consider all possible metrics on this manifold, and the wave function psi as a function of the metric can be obtained by summing over topologies and integrating over Euclidean metrics on a manifold of one hard dimension, which can be viewed as whose boundary is our spatial slice. So this will be Euclidean or part of the geometry, and then it continues into Lorentzian one. So here time is normal time, and here time is the Euclidean time. Okay. Of course, in practice, it's very hard to study wave function. Yeah, they show that it satisfies Wheeler-DeWitt equations and has many other interesting properties, but in practice, it's very hard to study wave function as a function of infinitely many variables. In fact, the whole set of metrics that you could possibly put in a spatial slice. So what you often do is limit yourself to variation of one parameter in the metric, right? Like, for example, if you talk about a three-dimensional world like ours, we can consider a three-sphere and consider variation of the radius of the three-sphere. Okay, this subset of metrics, which are described by simple parameter, just radius, is what's called a linear superspace approximation. And we'll be doing exactly the same thing in this context. This is precisely what OVD proposed, except that here we'll be restricting to variation of metrics on this nine-dimensional manifold, which involve variation of the moduli of the Calabi-Yau and the corresponding coupling constant, which is related to the size of the S2. So we'll vary with respect to H21 plus one variables if we talk about, say, B model, which will be relevant to type 2A. And this will be this super referring for supersymmetric variations, then mini superspace referring to finite dimensional subset. Yes?
So is M9 supposed to be just a space of spatial slice? Space-time is M9 cross time.
Yeah, right. So it's in fact it came out as a piece is a spatial slice in ADS2 cross S2 cross Calabi-Yau geometry, which was the new horizon limit of the black holes, and that's why all these two subjects are intimately connected. But then I guess the proposal could be taken just as a statement about this spatial geometry, and as you'll see further on, I'm going to abuse it a little bit more to deviate and drop some of the factors, or assume that there is nothing serious there. Yeah.
So what is, naively if I stared at that, I might think that there were actually H21 plus two parameters to radii in the approximation. So why is it only one thing?
Yeah, that's right. So I don't remember an immediate answer to this. I remember thinking about it, but somehow the radius of S1 does not appear or can be rescaled away. So I don't remember the answer off the top of my head. Yeah, so the radius of the S2 is fixed and it's good. So it will be we'll be talking about complex structure moduli here, plus this one guy from this two. So this very nicely agrees with counting of H21 plus one parameter. So it is the radius of this one which does not appear. And as I said, I don't remember the reason off the top of my head. But,
Are you just
telling
me? Actually, the second part of the question is, if you have there any other way of seeing besides the black hole that it should be S1 times S2 that comes out as opposed to something else? You can imagine when this is a space wave function where that's S3 or something, some other three ball of hole.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, can you have any more to say about why that function that comes out of the platform?
Well, at the moment we have, their argument was based on the connection with black holes. And, honestly, I'm not. I think that we're just scratching the surface and don't have the full picture of realization of this wave function in a physical string. So this is just one proposal which we have at the moment, and I'm sure that there might be more, much more to say about it and other realizations. But connection with black holes was, I think, the main and the only serious motivation for it.
Are you studying this as a function of the metric or as a function of the
remote? Right.
On the space side, we've got a function of the metric.
Yeah, very good question. So classically, there would be no distinction at all because charges takes for us the metric or the point in the moduli space. However, I'll be actually considering, and that was the proposal, to think of this psi as a wave function on the moduli space, this extended moduli space, which includes the string coupling, which is the size of the S2. And so in fact, for a given set of charges, we would have a wave function, which is often written as psi pq, which has the property that it's peaked at that structure point. So this is the object that I'll be studying to make it a little bit.
You are going to be such that your metric is large and
large and spin unit and a spin pump on the loop? Is that the beginning of the work?
Not always. Sometimes, in case of sometimes when we can solve, for example, when we know how to compute Z top, including alpha prime and Junius corrections, like in simple conifold type examples, we'll go further and try to look at its behavior near various singularities and other special points in the moduli space. Of course, normally for generic compact Calabi-Yau, you would probably restrict to only large volume, large radius limit to keep it under control. That's right. And that's going to be one.
Otherwise, right. So, but I think the physical spin coupling is also true. But what I'm driving at is I really don't understand. At this point, I would think that if the Calabi-Yau, if the S1 and S2 and Calabi-Yau are large, and the spin coupling is small, then we should get a good approximation to the Hartle-Hawking problem by semi-classical evaluation of the fundamental supergravity. The important dynamics in the fundamental supergravity, is that going to go either to that of the Lamont Moore field?
Mm-hmm.
We want to reduce string squaring in front of the other sport sector.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't. What one should be focusing on is the quantum mechanics of the non-molecular. What do you think you will be spent so wasting the energy because there isn't a one over three string square thing?
You can look the other way around. You can look at the four G is zero.
And you cannot be spent at
four G is near zero. So it's actually at zero.
No. You've got this big suppression of one of the G-string squared times the number of string spectrum. And what you have to do is the quantum mechanics of the remote string squared.
See, the remote string structures, and aren't they just fixed by quantization?
First of all, that's exactly my point. You could be summing over the extensions of the remote string field, the three-field problem, you can do it. And it doesn't look anything like the topological string condition. And my basic point is that you should be able to address this at large radius weak spin coupling by thinking about the fundamental supergravity curve. And I don't really see how that has anything to do with the topological spin. So I don't have a sense of it.
Okay, so first of all, we should definitely think of fixing charges. So here I agree with Joanne. I don't actually understand how, what extension you have in mind. So I would just fix charges and allow everything to fluctuate.
In general, you have to sum over, you have to choose an interpolating manifold, okay?
Right.
And then you would have to sum over flux vectors that restrict to the given flux vector on the boundary.
Okay,
the beta function.
Okay, good, yes.
So that's what the wave function is, I think, really works.
No, but I would focus just on one term in the theta function for the time being. Just fix the flux sector here and look at possible extensions of this to high dimension. I'm not sure how I would compute it, but that's what I would do. Right. Right.
And there's still a sum to do.
Have you given us the argument yet that this should be related to the topological stream?
That's the proposal.
This is a statement. I thought there was some argument that was going to follow it.
Thank you, Gary.
I don't think why it's following something.
I think there is some kind of argument that would show that psi top is a solution of a weird with the equation. I don't see any argument why it should be the Hartle-Hawking wave function.
Right. So. But that was the proposal, and as I say, my motivation for it came from considering black hole taking different slices of ADS2, and I'm sure if I'll get there, I'll get the same kind of questions Boris was having yesterday, so I'm not going to do this. Just take this as a proposal, okay? I'm not sure how to compute this Euclidean path integral on a 10-dimensional manifold, but Greg seems to be strong enough to say that it doesn't look like Z-top. I don't know the answer.
Octobre. It's just because the Ramon-Ramon threat vector becomes true.
Right, but I mean, I'm not sure it's just Ramon-Ramon sector, because we know the origin of this, right? It came from the black hole, and in that case, first of all, you probably agree that there is a statement that in some asymptotic regime, Z-top squared does look like black hole counting function omega pq, which we saw yesterday, right? That's just you writing the same type of statement, now taking writing omega pq as overlap of two wave functions. So this is exactly the same statement, which I could probably restate yet another way by saying that we could consider Z-top squared. Okay, this is the same as omega pq, and it's exponential of the black hole entropy. Okay, this is what we usually call Z black hole. So the proposal really is that we can think of entropy as the measure on the space of string vacua, and that's the name of the principle, that they call it entropic principle. Okay, so it's a game in town. I'm not saying it's the only game in town, but it's a possibility. Yes.
So here's why I don't understand the problem. You say that the thing with the 1 over b squared is expressing this, but in fact, that's not what's going on. At least typically, that's the part of the wave function that is highly peaked. And so, for example, if that were the barrel point, the less expression there would be more.
Okay, so again, I wouldn't be able to, in the remaining 10 or 15 minutes, explain, go over OVV paper, and it's not my goal anyway. So let's take this just as a proposal. So as I'm saying, it's a measure on the moduli space of Calabi-Yau's, equivalently measure on space of string vacua. So let's take this and ask, what properties does it have? Does it sound reasonable? Can we derive any physics from it? Is there anything interesting to it? And okay, so the proposal is to think of psi top as a Hartley-Hawking wave function on this nine-dimensional manifold. Put differently, think of the black hole entropy, which is again essentially a restatement of the same proposal, as a measure on the space of string vacuum or moduli space of the Calabi-Yau, and it basically says that the preferred guides are the ones which have larger entropy. So.
And you're assuming there's some actual non-perturbative
conclusion of psi-top, which adds psi-top. Exactly, yeah. So I'm not going to assume it for my purposes in this remainder, but I hope, again, it can be turned around and said that if we understand this side better, which we seem to be at the moment, we can actually claim that this gives a non-perturbative completion to psi top. At the moment, I don't see very strong evidence for such claims either. So, but that's a subject definitely of yet another lecture.
So this is going to get strong characters for very large charges.
Exactly. Good. Right. So. Right, so that's one. Okay, let me get to it because. So we can fix P and Q, then for every P and Q there is psi, which has the property that it's extremized at the attractor point, which is precisely given by these equations. But there is psi, so there are several questions. We can compare how it behaves if we pick different charges. And obviously it has the property, just because entropy scales with the charge, it has the property that if you compare it for different values of charges, the larger ones will be more, will have a larger wave factor. And then there is a question, once we fix P and Q to a given value, how does this psi squared look like as a function on the moduli space? So we already know that it's peaked at the attractor point, but we could ask, okay, what about the fluctuations? And are there any interesting features about this path? So I'm going to, in the remaining 10, 15 minutes, I'm going to offer you two simple applications of this idea just to test how sensible it is. Both are going to be toy models, so I'll write this explicitly on the board now. So one is a toy model of string cosmology, if you wish. And the second one will be a toy model of string phenomenology. And these two will shed some light on the title, hopefully. So let me just summarize, well, describe the results, because computations are fairly straightforward and quite lengthy, so I don't want to bother you with them. So the first toy model you could imagine doing with this type of proposal is to do what probably Hawking wave function is good for in the first place, namely, try to use it as a model or as an ingredient in quantum cosmology. Let's imagine that we leave one as three, and we can consider how this three-sphere fluctuates. So we can start with a round three-sphere and see what are the fluctuations of this, of the metric on the S3 controlled by this wave function.
No.
So that's going to be my next goal. So since I'm starting on S3, since I don't want topology of our space to be S1 cross S2 or anything more complicated, we have to embed this three sphere inside Calabi-Yau. So this is going to be a model where we have S3 sitting inside Calabi-Yau. And locally, any Calabi-Yau which has, for example, we could think of brains wrapping some three sphere and have a matter sector, et cetera, et cetera. But locally, any Calabi-Yau which has a supersymmetric three sphere in there looks like a conifold, P star of S3. And this is precisely the model I'm considering. So now, nine dimensional space, M9, is S1 cross S2 cross P star of S3. This looks like a non compact space, but think of it embedded in a compact Calabi-Yau manifold so that eventually everything will be more normalizable than it appears now. And now time is separate from this M9, and this is where we live. Okay? So we can imagine starting with a large three sphere and asking how it fluctuates according to this wave function. So what are the modes of different momentum modes and their magnitude according to this proposal. Okay. So in order to do this, we have to let me first try the T star of S3 in a more familiar way, which is xy minus as a hypersurface in C4. So this is the Cunningfold. But then, so this parameter mu here is a complex structure deformation, whose magnitude controls the radius of the three sphere. And the fluctuations of the shape of the three sphere inside the Cunningfold are naturally encoded by deforming this, by adding various polynomials in x and y, things like tn x to the n, etc., high degree monomials in variables x, y, w, and z. I'm going to consider only deformations of this equation using variables x and y for a technical reason. And the reason is that okay, anyway, let me slow down a little bit. Now, we cannot actually ask about usually when we look at fluctuations of the metric in standard cosmology, we look at, for example, fluctuation of the scalar density, which would be phi k as a vector, phi minus k, okay? And here we need to find an analog of phi. And this will be the scale factor of the three-form omega. So I can fix some three-form omega naught and then consider multiplying it by function phi, which is precisely the analog of this scalar guy which we consider in the standard cosmology. So this phi is going to be related to perturbation of this equation. So I could write it as mu plus some epsilon as function of x's and y's, okay? And then the point is that to the leading order, phi goes like epsilon, okay? Again, assuming that the perturbations are small and the three sphere is large. Now, computation of such phi's as here.
Well, yes. K usually refers to the three-dimensional space.
Right. So here it will be actually here K will be either locally a momentum expanded for a fluctuation, high momentum fluctuation on a three sphere described by the right. Right, exactly. More precisely, it will actually be, it should be described by spherical harmonics on the three sphere. So that's of course the proper way to do it.
But I mean, in cosmology, we're talking about Fourier transform with respect to R
spheres,
not the internal.
Right. So S3 is our space here. So think of the thing that we live on a three sphere inside Calabi-Yau. Okay. Right. So think. Okay. I should have emphasized that more strongly. So in this model, think of our space being inside Calabi-Yau. Okay.
Because it's an awfully big Calabi-Yau.
Yeah. Exactly. The kind of. Yeah.
Really big.
Really big, yeah. Really big. In fact, imagine it in the large volume but large complex structure limit where the SYZ torus or something sitting on top of this S3 is tiny, right? In that sense, it's very much like KK reduction on the self-special Lagrangian torus, and you get indeed some degrees of freedom on S3, and locus where T3 degenerates might look like cosmic string, so it's yes, yes. To the leading order, classically it is fixed, but again, it's the same point about this wave function. So once we fix charges, so for example, these are moduli. once we fix charges, then this attractor, this wave function is peaked around the point, I'll call it psi naught, determined by P and Q. But it's actually a function on the moduli space. So here we have to peak charges in such a way that this three sphere is really huge, indeed, okay, and very round. So which means that we have to peak some charges, basically put a flux in the cycle Poincaré dual to the three sphere, or something like that. Do not disturb this other guy. And look how they fluctuate around the zero band. Yes.
The fact that you're getting all of this relating to the topological constraint means that you've thrown away a lot of local degrees of freedom.
So exactly. That's this super mini super space.
Right. So we're not really able to consider all fluctuations.
No. It's really, think of it just as an analog of Hartley-Hawking computation for S3 and S4, bounding S3. Or piece of. Okay, so now what this boils down to is computation of these scale factors phi, correlation functions of these phis. So what we want to compute is things like that labeled properly by either position on a three sphere, like of x and zero, or corresponding momentum. Now, once we write this out, it boils down to computation of the correlators of T's, something like T and T minus N. And this we know how to compute because of the relation between Kleinfeld and the C equals 1 theory. So these are all known, the two-point functions, three-point functions, and here we can include even genus expansion and look what's happening. So I won't bother you with the details and just tell you the leading order answer because that's already interesting, unfortunately not in agreement with the standard cosmology. So what we get is that if we express it in terms of momenta, phi k, phi minus k, it goes as g string squared, well, I'll suppress that. It goes roughly like k as opposed to k to the minus 3, which correspond to scale invariant spectrum. So there are four orders of magnitude discrepancy. So it's just a toy model, and as expected, it didn't. It in some sense it's good that it doesn't agree with observations. One can also look at various three-point functions, etc. So again, it already this tells us that we are way off. But it's interesting that the structure of such three-point functions, which again can be easily extracted from this topological string wave function, is extremely specific, and any such tests in whatever other realization we find for this wave function can be very useful for constraining various sets of models. So in particular, again, here it was very specific, but it already didn't agree with the observations and the leading order. Yes.
I'm slightly confused about this. The interpretation of this is a sort of like a wave function.
Yeah.
It's that being a function of the moduli.
Right. Exactly.
And over here, you're looking at all these fluctuations of the sphere, and I'm confused because those fluctuations look much more general than anything you would get out of the moduli. Sometimes you should be getting a function.
Oh, that's a very good question, right? So Kleinfeld is a bit special here, in the sense that it has only one honest modulus mu, which controls the radius of S3, but then it has infinite set of non-normalizable moduli which change asymptotics at infinity.
Okay, so the other moduli corresponding to other cycles those come in as parameters like this.
Right,
okay.
Right. So if you
but
think of
really
exactly, so if you think of embedding this inside a compact Calabi-Yau, which is huge by itself and has a huge sphere inside, only a subset of these guys will be actually realized in an honest Calabi-Yau. But it's natural to assume that local physics around the three sphere is controlled by this geometry and its own physics, and therefore does not depend on the rest of it. So in some sense, it's like a universal model for S3 cosmology in wherever compact LIBL you may embed it. Okay? Good. So now, this is as far as the first toy model goes. The second toy model was to do a slightly different thing. Just take this wave function or entropy functional, if you wish, as a function on the moduli space, say, of complex structures, and just ask where it's peaked and what is the behavior of this entropy functional. So I'm going to right, and in order to do this, as Gary pointed out, we would have to fix charge in some way. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to compare it for different sets of charges as well. So now really think of this in phrenological context of counting, say, flux vacua and putting this as a measure on flux vacua. Of course, we cannot do it because this entropy functional scales with charge, so the region of large charge would immediately dominate. So in order to get something where we can even pose a question, we have to fix the magnitude of the charge in some way. Okay. So what one can do is to fix a period of omega of, say, one of the cycles A0, keep it fixed, and consider this functional, for example, set it to 1 or some other value, and consider this functional as a function on the moduli space of Calabi-R and ask, does it have maximum or minimum? What are the... right, essentially, right. So to the leading order, it's essentially this. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I mean, I'm choosing an element A naught. And minimize that. That's slightly different, right? I think.
I think in some gauge, this thing is related to that.
I wouldn't be surprised because.
I'm not sure if the gauge is that.
No, perhaps there is a relation because here we also find that it's.
You're going to talk about attractiveness.
Right. So, this is indeed maximized by the attractor mechanism, at least in. Okay. So let me say a little more to clarify. I guess I'll go for another 3-4 minutes and then stop. So let's call this guy X naught. Okay. And the reason we want to fix it is because, for example, the free energy, for example, gene zero contribution to the free energy scales quadratically with this X naught. So that's another way of saying that the black hole entropy scales with charge, which we want to keep fixed. So that's these are all different versions of the same problem. So fixing X naught leads us to naturally defined set of variables, which are now honest coordinates on the moduli space of Calabi-L, which would be Xi over X naught, and the corresponding periods Fi. And then the prepotential can be written just this guy could be expressed as X naught squared times some function which depends only on little a's. Okay, which are now honest coordinates on the moduli space of the Calabi-Yau. There are h to 1 of them as opposed to h to 1 plus 1 axis. Okay. In fact, let me write this as a like dual in the notations reminiscent of Cyber-Kutin theory. Now, it's very easy to essentially take the scale out of this omega vege omega Bohr. We write in terms of A and A dual. And what this tells us is that the critical points are when the following is true: real part of A's plus tau ij, real part of ai dual here and a here is equal to zero. Okay, so this is this gives us h21 complex equations for h21 variables, and this is precisely the condition that this wave function or entropy measure is peaked somewhere in the moduli space. So this is nb. Okay, so this is the condition for a critical point somewhere here. Now, if you look at the second variation of this functional S, so delta 2 of S, has various terms, but among other things, it has minus imaginary part of tau ij delta ai delta aj bar plus something involving third derivatives of the prepotential times real part of aj delta a I delta k. And in order for this critical point to be a maximum or a minimum rather than a saddle point, this term has to vanish, which means that real part of a has to be zero. So therefore, if we want a maximum or minimum, not just a critical point, what we're really looking at is the set of conditions where real part of AI is zero and real part of a say J dual is zero. Okay, and now this really looks like a Proctor equations because with charges which are set to zero, because the only period which was kept fixed is essentially this x zero. So now I believe that this is the connection with the Proctors. Okay. And finally, I want to say two things about behavior of this wave function. First of all, one can look to solutions at solutions to this equation, for example, in the large volume limit or a large complex structure limit. And there are infinitely many discrete solutions, and they all look like deformed versions, complex multiplication deformed by Wahlschmidt instanton corrections. And the reason for that is very simple, because the functional, this function f of a is cubic in the coordinates on the complex structure moduli. So once we differentiate it, we essentially get something quadratic, and quadratic equation with integer coefficients or set of equations, and including instanton corrections, Wahlschmidt instantons deforms this. So these are points in large volume, or more generally in the modular space of Calabi-Yau, where nothing special happens. Another set of points which satisfy this equation, or in fact this equation which corresponds to either maximum or minimum, is a set of points where some particles from the four-dimensional perspective become massless, like a cunifold point or a point where P1 contracts and the normal bundle to is something like O0 plus or minus 2, things like this. So it's interesting then that to note that what triggers either this point is maximum or minimum is either we have a hypermultiplet or vector multiplet becoming massless at this point. So, and the reason is quite pretty simple, because what controls, if this is zero, then what controls either we have maximum or minimum is this imaginary part of tau ij, which is also correlated, and interesting cases correspond to term which has some constant piece, plus beta log pi beta log a squared over lambda squared near some critical point where a is equal to zero. And beta then is related to the beta function in the effective four-dimensional theory, and is negative for vectors and positive for hypers. So therefore, this leads to a nice conclusion, or at least amusing conclusion, that asymptotically free theories are correspond to maxima of these wave function squared, whereas non-asymptotically free theories correspond to minima. And finally, the last property that I want to mention about this set of critical points is that they correspond to points in the moduli space where the maximal possible set of charges becomes more marginally bound, because if you have essentially what it says is that lots of periods are aligned with each other, and therefore if you think, say, of D0, D4, D2 bound states, all of them can become marginally bound at precisely this point. So I think I should probably stop here. Well, now, right. So in the first case, we were embedding our universe inside Calabi-Yau. Now we are coming back to the more usual setup, where universes could be, for example, S2 cross S1. But we're not actually looking at the external space, and rather just think of it as a measure on the on the moduli space of Calabi-Yau. And Right.
You have this picture of Calabi-Yau.
Well, if one goes ahead and computes higher, three-point correlation functions and non-Gaussianities, as we did, one might try to compare it to WMAP. But as I say already, the leading water, you get discrepancies. So.